Yeah. Glory. Glory. You know, there's a place where you can step over the line. And you can step into the glory realm. You just got to fight to get there. Because Mr. Self doesn't want to be there. Mr. Self has every excuse not to be there. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. How many of y'all have been practicing your covenant tongue? Yes. And you know, there is, because of everything that's been happening and things that are going on, the attacks, the things that we see happening in the world, the discouragements, the pains, the sufferings that we see that people go through, the falling away, the disobedience, the area of fighting for one's life and seeking one's life again instead of constantly losing it. You know, we've got to stand strong. And in this standing strong a little bit, yeah, raise it a little bit. In this standing strong, we must maintain a covenant tongue. But there's something else that why we maintain a covenant tongue, how we maintain a covenant tongue is vitally important. You know, we talked about the complete salvation package that Jesus paid for me and you. That's an understanding that we've got to have. We must get that understanding. We must maintain that understanding. Because one of the things that the Lord desires most of all is that we have a relationship. He wants me and you to know him. He wants me and you to know his voice, his unction, and what he wants, even when he doesn't speak. See, this is a whole nother arena and way of life. I speak to many believers that still don't know God's voice. And it's not that they don't know God's voice. It's that they don't know God. They can quote the scriptures. The only way they know God is through the word, but they don't know him personally. Again, I want to tell you and remind you that the disciples did not have a Bible. Amen? They didn't have a Bible. They walked by the direction of the Holy Spirit. That's why he's there with me and you all the time. So when you get up in the morning, you welcome the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, we wouldn't fall into so many goofy things if we acknowledged the Holy Spirit. Because he said he will guide you to all truth. All truth. He isn't going to lie to you and he's not going to trick you up. And he's not trying to cause you a stumbling for teaching you. Does everybody got it? One of the things he wants to teach me and you is his presence. He wants me and you to know that he is so close and he's right there. And in that, there's something vitally important. He wants you to trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Everyone say, trust him. There's a, what we want to call a pleasing trust. Everyone say, pleasing trust. Everyone say, I'm maintaining a pleasing trust. A pleasing trust. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah 17, if you'll go there, please. A pleasing trust is an area where there's a trust that pleases God. Jeremiah 17. Everyone's desire is to please God. If you have a relationship with the Lord and building a relationship with the Lord, you have a desire to please him. If you don't have a desire to please him, then you don't have a relationship yet. So what you want to do is you maintain discipline, which leads to relationship, which leads to love affair. Till you get into that love affair with him, where you begin to know him, and as you begin to know him, you say, man, I want to please you. I want to please you. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, is everybody there? Let's speak this together. Jeremiah 17 verse 5, thus says the Lord, curse is a man who what? Trust in man, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. You know what a shrub in the desert is? It's dry. He shall not see when good comes. Why? Because blindness comes. When God is trying to send something, They miss it. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. That is dry as you can get. Verse 7. Blessed is the man who what? Trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a what? A tree. Isn't a tree stronger than a shrub? Yeah. Planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear or run when heat comes or trouble comes. But its leaves will be green, and he will not be what? Anxious. In other words, he won't move ahead of God in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Verse 9. It says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. These fruits of his doings are called the fruit of his works. It's the fruit of obedience, and it is the fruit of trust. Trust. Must trust in these last days. Why? Because if you trust the Lord, you're going to be blessed. We have a tendency to walk out of trust and walk in mistrust. When we walk in mistrust, we do it in our own strength. There's too many decisions that are based on sight, sense, feeling, talents, experience, abilities, finances, and not trust. Not trust. Many decisions are made. Those are the precepts of the world. Too many decisions are made that way because they don't trust. They actually mistrust. They can't trust that God can provide for them. They can't trust that God can bring them through something. They can't trust that God will heal them. They can't trust. So they become anxious and they move before God can do anything. Or they become blind when God sends it. They don't see it. Because they're too busy trying to fix it themselves. They're too busy trying to work in their own strength. They're too busy trying to rely on their experiences, their abilities, their talents. They're too busy putting other things before God. And I'm sharing with you the important thing right now in our life, especially in the time and season that we are in, is to trust. Every believer should want to please God. Well, you want to please him? Trust. That's what pleases him. Your works don't. Nothing pleases him any more than to know that you trust him. Does everybody got it? Then to know that you can trust him, that's what pleases him. In Proverbs 3, you know, I remember a while ago the Lord told me, they pray but don't obey. Listen, you can fast and pray and still disobey. Because you've got to get to a place where you trust no matter what. No matter what. You can do all kinds of works. You can fast for a year. I can guarantee you you'll see Jesus. You'll get a visitation. In fact, you'll visit him. Again, we must enter the realm of complete trust. Why? Because in this place of trust, trust is the highest level of pleasing God. Not your works, not what you've done, not what you're doing, and not what you're going to do. Trust is the highest level of pleasing God. In Proverbs 3, let's start at verse 1. Let's all speak this together. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, let's speak it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. So you're going to have to trust. You're going to have to get the understanding right now, because the Bible says get understanding, right? So what he's saying, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your senses. Don't lean on your feelings. Don't lean on your circumstances. Don't lean on your experiences. Don't lean on anything. You lean on what God has said, and you trust. This is where the understanding comes. Why? Because if you want to please him, you must trust him. If you can't trust him, how can you please him? Because you will mistrust him, and you'll do your own thing. You'll be anxious. You'll miss. See, we obey because we trust him. Faith is trust also. Let's go a little further. In verse 6, in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Wow. Do you trust that he can direct your path? Amen. Now, of course, if you're out there sinning, you can ask God to direct your path. The first thing he's going to say is repent. Repent, and I'll direct you. Verse 7, he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. In other words, when God corrects you, it's because you're not bad. Hello. It's not because you're bad. He corrects me and you to get us in a place where we trust him. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son, in whom he delights. He delights. So, you know, too many times we are going by our carnal fathers. We're trying to live by our carnal way of life in the family. It is not the same in the spirit realm. It's different. He says he delights in you even when you're an idiot. Does everybody get this? Oh, Lord, I mean, how many times? I tell the Lord all the time, I don't know how you put up with me. It's because he loves me. I think I make him fall off the throne. He laughs so hard sometimes. I think the whole place, the whole throne room breaks out and goes, look what he did again. So we all laugh together. I get corrected, but I trust. See, I have to trust even in my correction. Does everybody got it? Even when I'm chastened, I have to trust. Why? Because I want to please him. You want to please him? You trust him. No matter what. No matter what you're going. Even in your mistakes. No matter what you've done. If you just get up and trust him. Lord, I blew it, but I'm trusting you. That's what pleases him. See, religion will want you to work to please him. We don't work to please him. We trust to please him. And because we trust to please him, when he asks us to do something, we do it because we trust. That's what pleases him. Hallelujah. Trust in all. Trust in everything. Get this understanding that trust is what pleases God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know why people run? Because they don't trust. You know why they go back to the world? Because they don't trust. You know why they move out of God's time? Because they don't trust. They can't trust him to wait. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4. Let's speak this together, please. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident. Is confident associated with trust? Yes. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we walk, I want you to get this again. We walk by trust. You cannot have faith without trust. Everybody got it? You got to trust God that when he shows you something, all right? So trust comes. You trust him. You trust him no matter what. You're trusting him in everything. You're acknowledging him in everything you do. Lord, I just trust you. And you're acknowledging him. You acknowledge him by always inviting him. Holy Spirit, what do I do here? Holy Spirit, how do I do this? Hey, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Can you lead me today? Can you show me? You know, I can't see it all, but you can. And just that's why we ask, grant me the eyes to see, ears to hear, and heart to receive. Because we want to come in a place where we don't miss God. So we ask him to lead us. So we trust that he's leading us. So then when we hear him speak, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, right? When we move on that, because what we see, because faith is spiritual sight, it pleases him. Why? Because we first, what? Trusted. Well, what if I make a mistake? Well, you're blessed. What do you mean? I'm blessed in my mistake? Yes. Because if you trusted that God told you and you made a mistake, that's how he's looking, is that you trust him. So everybody got it? That's what pleases him. Now, if you deliberately make a mistake, you're going to get corrected. But you're going to maintain trust. Lord, you know what? I know I moved in the flesh. I shouldn't have done that. I didn't really want to do it, but I did anyways. Please forgive me. Okay, get in line. Get in divine order. Come on, trust me. Come on, learn to trust me. That's what he was always saying. Please learn to trust me. Learn to trust me. Remember, I'm the one that made everything. I even made you, he says. Listen, I made the earth, you're everything, you're every breath. I did it all. How can we not trust the one that made us? It says, verse 8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be what? Well pleasing to him. And how are we going to be well pleasing? Trust. Therefore, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. So we are well known to God. Remember, he chose you. You didn't choose him. You might have thought you did, but he chose you. You might have cried out for a long time, oh, God, help me. And it felt like he didn't answer. But he was watching and waiting the whole time. Watching and waiting. Waiting for you to finally get to a place that said, I can't do this any longer. I really want to know you. See, he begins to draw you to desire more truth. And by the desire of knowing more truth, you begin to learn more and trust more. Wow. Can I really trust what he says? Well, that's what pleases him. That's what David always said. See, sometimes you got to make that confession. Lord, I trust you. Even though inside you're going, man, I'm frightened to death. Dear God, I don't know if you can do this. I trust you. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what I think. I don't care what my senses say. I trust you. Now, of course, do not walk in a flaming fire. Do not jump off a cliff or jump in front of a moving train. You can guarantee God, you can trust God that you will see him. Hallelujah. So when he says, when we see the word faith, I want you to understand it's associated with trust. In Titus chapter 3. Lord, I want to see you. You know, this is a definite truth. Does everybody got it? This is a definite, defining truth. You know, the world, the people of the world is not interested in truth. They're only interested that they're right. They just want to prove that they're right even when they're wrong. See, they're not interested in truth because they have no desire to please God, because they have no relationship, so they can't trust him. So they're really not interested in truth. They're only interested in everything they didn't do was right. So they're always trying to prove themselves right. But they are dead wrong. And I mean dead wrong. Hallelujah. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, not by our works, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You are being washed and regenerated all the time. It says, for whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. He says something here. He warns us. He says, avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. In other words, trust God. Trust Him. It's called pleasing trust. In Psalm 37, everybody gets to a point where, oh, God, you know what? I just can't do this any longer. You're going to have to do this. You know, we realize then we've gone over the boundaries or beginning to get burned out because we're working in the flesh. And I'm not saying that God won't stretch you. And I'll tell you why he stretches us. Because when you go to a grocery store, can you put more groceries in a little bag or a bigger bag? Yes. So God wants to stretch you because he wants to fill you out with more things. He wants to give you more things. So there's an area sometimes he's going to just stretch you. And that's called purging. Has everybody got it? Pruning. Why? So you can bear more fruit. You can't bear more fruit if you haven't got more seed, if you haven't got more things to bear fruit with. So sometimes God stretches us. Sometimes you don't want to do any more worship. Well, I think I've done enough worship, and all of a sudden there's six more songs. Lord, I wasn't expecting this. You know, I just thought, you know, I mean, come on, I'm ready for the word now. No. We're going to do a little stretching tonight. Can you trust me, he says. Come on, you want to please me? Then trust me. Trust me that I know what I'm doing. Hallelujah. God is good. Psalm 37, okay. In verse, I think it's 4. Oh, no, 3. Let's start at 1. Psalm 37. I'm going to trust God. Would you speak it with me? Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his what? His faithfulness. Oh, glory. Feed on it. Now, how do you eat? What you speak is what you eat. So you're going to feed on his faithfulness by decrees of word, his word. Lord, I trust you. You just ate it. Lord, I love you. You just ate it. Lord, I surrender to you. You just ate it. Oh, Lord, help me. You just ate it. Oh, Lord, you see what they're doing? I don't do it anymore. You just got chastened. Hello. Not to exalt oneself, but to exalt him and give him the glory. Always. That should be the first thing of everything. To God be the glory. Yes. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight yourself. And he shall what? Give you the desires of your heart. Let me tell you, how are you going to delight yourself in him? Trust him. You're going to trust him. Lord, I trust you. Hallelujah. Let's party. Let's just dance. I'll never forget. I was driving down the road one day, and I'm praising and worshiping the Lord. Next thing I see, I'm on my hood. Whoa. And he's dancing. He's dancing on the hood of my car. And we're just praising. I'm just praising God. I'm just dancing with the Lord. This is crazy. Nobody believe us. See, he's not in the natural realm, so he wasn't going to get blown off the car. Believe me, I was not going too fast to blow him off the car. Trust in the Lord. In verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall what? He's going to bring it to pass. How many times have you tried to bring it to pass? Don't raise your hands. And then it didn't happen. Then when you finally gave it up, you know what happened? It comes to pass. Oh, Lord, I don't know. I just give it to you. Good. Why did you take it from me from the beginning? Couldn't you trust me? Hello? Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as the noonday. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Why? Because you do what? You trust. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Don't worry about them. And don't follow what they do to make money. Wicked schemes. People do those things. They lie, they exaggerate, they do all kinds of stuff to try and make money because they don't trust God. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and do not fret. It only causes harm. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and glory to God. Trust in the Lord. Feed on his faithfulness, and you can rest assured as you delight yourself in him, it's going to come to pass. And I can guarantee you it won't come to pass in your time. It'll be in his time, because he knows exactly how to release something. Sometimes he's going to stretch you. Proverbs 16. Is everybody there? Verse 20, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, right? And whoever trusts in the Lord, what? Happy is he, joyful is he. Hallelujah. People who are not joyful don't trust. Don't be, man, if you're a miserable Christian, don't tell nobody you know Jesus. Go home, get in your closet, shake the dust off, cast the spirit of oppression out. Look in the mirror if you have to. If your face starts to contort, get rid of those spirits. Hello? And receive the joy of the Lord, because in his presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Proverbs 28. In verse 25. Let's speak it. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will what? Prosper. Okay, look at all the benefits. These are freebies, you know. By trusting God. The freebies. You can be joyful. You can prosper. Hallelujah. In Psalm 125, we're going to hit a few places to show you about trust. Pleasing trust. You know, your desires, you may, oh, Lord, I can't wait till we can do this. Have you asked God when you're to do this? Has everybody got it? See, this is an area of trust. Lord, when do you want me to do this? Lord, when this is a desire of mine. Lord, I have a desire. I'm going to commit it to you. And when it's time, just bring it to pass. And if it's not for your, according to your will for me, then just remove it. 125, verse 1. Let's speak it. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Can't be moved. You won't be moved if you trust in the Lord. And I'm not, listen, you're going to get attacked with fear and anxiety and stress, and the voice of the enemy is going to come up and tell you all kinds of things, and he's going to tell you what you're missing. He's going to tell you that you miss God. He's going to tell you all kinds of things, but you must stand and hold on no matter what. No matter what. 2 Corinthians 4. In verse 13, and it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what it is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. Now, in other words, I trusted, that's why I spoke. Has everybody got that? I trusted, that's why I spoke. So we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with him, with you. For all things are for your sakes, the grace, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Does everybody see that? Believe, spoke. I believe because I what? Trusted. Everything always starts with trust. Has everybody got that? It starts with trust. You can't believe without trust. You can't have faith without trust. You can't obey without trust. Nothing can happen in your life unless you trust. And that's where we must constantly say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. No matter what I'm doing, I trust you. I trust you. I'm not going to go how I feel. I'm not going to go how I think. I trust you. Grant me understanding, Lord, that it's trust that pleases you. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord fully. Everyone say fully. Fully pleasing him. What does he mean by fully pleasing him? Trusting him in everything. Being fruitful in every good work. Why? Because if you truly trust him in everything, you're going to produce good fruit. And increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. All of these things are associated with trust. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Look at this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Is that powerful? What? Fully pleasing. What is he asking? That we fully trust him. In Psalm 119:42. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Psalm 119 and verse 42. 41 and 2. Let's speak it. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. I shall keep your law continually forever and ever. I will walk at liberty or at freedom, for I seek your precepts. I will speak your testimonies before kings. I will not be ashamed. What's he doing? He's making decrees that he is going to trust. I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. He's making decrees to bring trust. Psalm 62. Verse 8, Psalm 62, verse 8. Here we go. Are you ready? Trust in him when you feel like it. Trust in him when it makes sense. Hello. It says, trust in him at what? All times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He's a what? Refuge. It's a place of protection. All times. Surely men of low degree are a viper. Men of high degree, vapor, I'm sorry. Same thing, isn't it? You viper. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in what? Oh, man, you know how many people trust in their oppression? Oh, here comes oppression. Oh, thank God I have oppression today. I can trust in it more than I can trust God. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once. Twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his word. Wow. Yeah, so we see that there's trust and safety there. In Psalm 18, hallelujah. Psalm 18, verse 1. Let's speak it. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Man, there's a lot of promises in there for trust. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of hell surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Verse 25. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people and will bring down the haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against the troop. By my God I can leap over the wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. 32, Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is just for you. Praise God. This is good. This is really good. Is everybody there? Is everybody ready? Speak verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Mercy. That means he's always considering you. When you cry out for mercy, you're asking him, Lord, consider me. When he considers you, he releases grace, which is his will. It says, mercy shall surround me. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Psalm 31, verse 14. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. See, you are truly trusting that he is God. Lord, I trust in you. You are my God. You are my creator. You are my provider. You are my healer. You're my deliverer. You're my life. You're my strength. You're my everything. Verse 15. My times are what? In your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. And make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Look at this. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. And let them be silent in a grave. And let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly, contemptuously against the righteous. My God. And he's your God, and you know that he brings goodness to you. Psalm 26. In verse 1, let's speak it. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not what? Oh, man, do you see the benefits? The freebies. These are all freebies for those who trust the Lord. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Check me out. And show me if I'm out of line. Because I trust you. Chasten me. Slap me across the head. Show me what it is. Visit me in a dream and vision. Make it plain to me, Lord. I want to please you. And because I want to please you, that means I'm going to trust you. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted in you what? Delivered them. They cried to you. And were delivered. They trusted in you and were what? Not ashamed. They weren't ashamed. In Hebrews 13. In He Sparks 13. She Sparks. Hebrews 13. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Good. Verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to close it. 1 Timothy 4. There has been a sword in this room ever since we started worshiping. It is a silver sword with a gorgeous handle, and it's stuck into the floor, and it has been burning ever since. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, and it's still burning. In verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in a latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. Because we what? Trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let not one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. For it is written, for it is spoken, and so shall it be. We trust, we believe, because we trust, we have faith, because we trust, and we speak, because we trust. And because we trust, we please Him. So everybody got it? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed continue to be protected, and let the flame continue to burn. I want to thank all those who've listened tonight, all those who've watched tonight, and all those who are here tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you and go before you and grant you revelation, impartation, visitation, and understanding in the name of Jesus. And for continuous impartation, go to theeternallibrary.org. For training, for reigning. God bless. See you later.